Having told my Jesuits for 25 years, they never asked questions. They always made objections. Question. If my life is an example, is that enough? No. Your life should be an example to others. Otherwise, what we believe will be contradicted by the way we live. We must, and for some Catholics, this will be very hard. We must cultivate the zeal of sharing the faith honestly, sincerely, try to convert people to the Catholic faith or bring them back if they've strayed. In airports, when I meet every Christian of people or Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm embarrassed. Where is our zeal? Was the best way to approach a fallen away Catholic, a relative, to help him or her to return to the faith? First of all, pray for that person daily and by name. Secondly, get that person to pray. We now know who will go to heaven. We now know who will go to hell. Honest. Who will go to heaven? Those who pray. Who will go to hell? Those who don't pray. Get your friend to pray. And if the person is not willing to pray, would you pray with me? Then, may as understanding as possible as to why the person gave up the practice of his or her faith. In general, there are two main reasons why people give up their Catholic faith. One is they don't know it. They don't understand the treasure they are discarding. And the second reason is because living the Catholic faith is hard. In other words, to practice the virtues, especially the virtues of charity and chastity, is not easy. Any way you can help that person to practice charity, by your own selfless love for that person, and never take rejection of yourself as a sign you should stop pursuing that person. But above all, live a sacrificial life yourself, if need be, of heroic virtue, to merit the grace of that person's conversion. Why is it that people won't talk about EWTN and yet go to Mass every day? They have cable. Well, as you probably know, Mother Angelica has been violently opposed in some high circles in the United States. I was with her on two occasions in Birmingham, Alabama, the last several months. She's under terrific pressure, and the main reason, you know, she is uncompromising in teaching and insisting on the Catholic faith. Talk to these people. Ask them, do you want to be on the winning side? Those opposing Mother Angelica are on the losing side. no matter what their position may be. Is it lawful to receive communion in the hand? Thanks for the question. Yes, it is lawful. Yes, it is lawfully permissive. Yes, you don't commit a sin if you receive communion in the hand. However, let me tell you, communion of the hand is not preferred as a safe verb by the Bishop of Rome. Communion of the hand began in Holland, whose bishops are the ones that published that heretical Catholic catechism. And they did so, told their people, receive communion in the hand. Of course, I don't see without getting permission from, even without consulting, the Pope. Gradually, other bishops followed suit. Then, one country after another, the Pope thought, and we must trust his judgment, the lesser of two evils was to allow communion in the hand instead of losing, hear it, millions of Catholics to the faith. In the United States, Canada already had communion of the hand before we did. The American hierarchy voted on communion of the hand, but then they were to request Pope Paul VI for permission. First time they voted, voted down. Second time they voted, next year, voted down. Third time, they went to hospitals to find bishops on their deathbed to get them to vote. They finally got enough votes to tell the Pope the bishops want communion in the hand. For every country, whenever the Holy Father gave permission, and the word is permission for communion in the hand, he said, I do so reluctantly. In the early church, there was, of course, communion in the hand. As the number of Catholics increased in number, they also decreased in fervor. And consequently, hear this. Communion of the tongue replaced communion of the hand. Why? To preserve faith in the real presence. You don't handle the body of Christ. Or now, with a deluge of, pardon the term, Eucharistic ministers, without faith of the Catholics in the real presence being damaged. Of course, I could say more. Thanks for the question. How does your catechism compare with a new one? Well, there is no need of comparison. I think I should say this publicly. One of the, I don't want to say main sources, I do have some humility, but one of the sources used by the commission for the catechism of the Catholic Church was the Catholic catechism of this sinner. Everything in the so-called new catechism is contained in the catechism that a character by the name of Father Hart published. Is the practice of birth control a mortal sin? Well, it all depends on what language you use. There are two kinds of birth control. By the way, celibacy is a well-known, but not easy, I assure you, means of birth control. Periodic abstinence from marital relations between husband and wife could be called birth control. You know, of course, the most Protestant language in the world is English. Did you know that? Most of the Protestants of the world speak English. Our English language is not Catholic. So when you use the term birth control, what do you mean? If you say artificial birth control, that is contraception, and contraception is a mortal sin. At my son's first confession liturgy service, the first reader was a short story entitled The Big Hurt. At the end of the story, the reader announced the word of the Lord as if it was from the Bible. During the homily, the priest referred back to this statement, confirming its validity, saying that God speaks to us through written word beyond the Bible. Was it right for the reader to proclaim that story the word of the Lord? No. No. That's spelled N-O. And it's followed by an exclamation mark. How do we go about to convert a son who has fallen away right after he entered the army? And all that I have said before holds here. Keep in very close contact with your son. Tell him how much you love him. And tell him that you want him to be saved. Tell him, if you dare, that you brought him into this world that he might join you in heaven in the world to come. Jim, Mike, Tony, whatever his name, I want you to join me in heaven. And believe me, you'll get to heaven only if you go back to the practice of your faith. I should add, be persistent. How will the Catholic Church in the United States prosper when we have such a shortage of priests? Last week, Archbishop Mitre said more parishes will be directed by pastoral lay administrators. Where will this lead the American Catholic Church? That's the question. Here's my answer. There is no shortage of priests in the Catholic Church. What the Catholic Church needs is priestly priests. Priests who live their priestly life. Priests who are willing to lay down their lives for the people whom they serve. Priests who live lives of chastity, lives of humility, are the last you would expect me to say, and lives of sincere poverty. I repeat, there is no shortage of priests. There is a shortage of priestly priests. And for your consolation, young priests, and often the younger they are remarkably aware of the world in which they are living. Whatever you can do to help priests live up to their very difficult vocation, first of all, pray for priests. Have masses offered for priests. Assist priests in any way you can. Above all, give priests the moral support they need. How well I know. Oh, what stories I could share with you. What I know about the priesthood in America. You don't work for 23 years for the Holy See without learning an awful lot. So many priests have weakened in their commitment. They have lost their faith and the moral principles, because, oh, they were befriended all right, but you know by whom? By those who themselves use priests, if we change the tense, are using priests for their own purpose. Priests need, how they need, the moral support of strong, sincere, believing Catholics. Now I'd add, of strong, selfless, and chaste Catholic women. How well I know what I'm talking about. Do you teach any classes for the University of Detroit Mercy? No, I do not. Thank you for the question. Behind that answer is 30 years of my Jesuit experience. Again, oh, how factual I could be. How is a new catechism? How is the new catechism different from catechisms that you have published? Thanks for the question. My first catechism, the Catholic Catechism, has sold about 500,000 copies. The bestseller of Doubleday after the Jerusalem Bible. The three catechisms that I published, Each had its own definite purpose. The Catholic Catechism is written from the perspective of history to show how the Catholic faith has remained continuous and constant over the centuries. The Question and Answer Catechism was written to be a textbook for use in schools. The Pocket Catholic Catechism was written to be available to non-Catholics. Nobody sells its books in airports and publishing houses throughout the country. I'm coming out with a fourth catechism to be called the Question and Answer Catechism of the Catholic Church, based on this new catechism with the Holy See backing me, to reduce this big catechism that is due to come out in June to about 1,200 questions, synthesized, and, as far as I can make it, simplified. Whereas the Catechism of the Catholic Church is meant to be primarily a resource. In other words, it is, I use the word treasury, of what the Catholic Church believes. But watch this. The Catechism of the Catholic Church brings out what no other catechism, universal catechism published by the Holy See, has ever contained. It shows how the faith, not the doctrine, but how the faith has grown in the Church's understanding and grasp of what we believe. In other words, the Catechism of the Catholic Church reflects what we call development of doctrine. If, in fact, Archbishop Lefebvre of the Society of St. Pius X, who is now deceased, was excommunicated, as also your followers, can I attend one of the Society's masses for their weddings or special occasions like confirmations? My answer is, you may. One warning, however, the warning which the Holy See gives me to make sure there is no scandal. In other words, provided the person, a believing Roman Catholic, does not scandalize other people who see him or her there, as though that person's presence means that he or she has also rejected the authority of the Bishop of Rome. On special occasions, for special reasons, I would say yes. And the backing of my own Vatican superiors in saying that. Children are instructed in error in our Catholic grade and high schools are surely not responsible for committing sins which they were told were not sins, even though the sins were mortal. God will surely not hold these against them and allow them, he will allow them to enter heaven at death. Well, if error has been taught, and it has been, in not only Catholic schools, it is our duty to correct that error. Because sure, as children, they may well have been taught error, but they have a right to the truth. And we have the duty to tell them what the truth is. Of course, if in good faith, they would even die in their, what we call, inculpable error, they would not be judged adversely by God. What if a pastor states he will have inclusive language? Well, pray for the pastor. And if you have anything to do with the language, well then do not use what is piously called inclusive language. Pastors have been known to make mistakes. What are some specific reasons for the formation of a new universal catechism in the Catholic Church in the light of the time-honored and venerable catechism of the Council of Trent? Second, could you provide specific examples of differences in content between them? Yes. The Catechism of the Council of Trent, also called the Roman Catechism, stands. It was published at the end of the 16th century in order to provide Catholics with knowing what they are to believe, as over against the Protestants who are denying the Catholic faith on every side. The Roman Catechism, or the Catechism of the Catholic Church, called the Tridentine Catechism, that catechism was consciously and deliberately defensive to defend the Catholic faith against the prevalent errors of Protestantism. The Catechism of the Catholic Church recognizes that millions of once-believing Protestants are confused. In New York City alone, in about a 20-year period, 100 Protestant churches were closed. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, therefore, has two qualities which the Roman Catechism of the Council of Trent did not have. First of all, the Catechism of the Catholic Church seeks to reach out to those who are not Catholic without watering down one iota of the Catholic faith, to make the Catholic faith palatable and attractive to our separated brethren. Secondly, as I mentioned before, the Catechism of the Catholic Church reflects the growth, watch this, in the Church's understanding of the faith. The Catechism of the Council of Trent could not speak of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception or her bodily assumption into heaven as articles of faith. Why not? Because neither had been defined by the Vicar of Christ. The Church is going, watch this, not in content, not in quantity, not in the what the Church believes, but the Church is going in a grasp of what she believes and the quality of her understanding, and this is reflected deeply in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Will the new catechism eliminate the need for the sex ed programs such as In God's Image, which is in many of our Catholic grade schools, that was approved by the Archdiocese, is offering to many parents, is offensive to married parents? Personally, I never felt there was a need of the I never felt there was a need of the true catechism. If the two catechism was taught, pardon me, I cannot read everybody's handwriting. My handwriting is atrocious. You're right. There would have been no need of a new catechism if the true faith had been taught. Amen. Will there be a dogma on the co-redemption or mediation of Our Lady, and how soon? Being part of the work in promoting that dogma, I am confident there will be a definition. How soon? Pray it will be very soon. The present Pope hopes to do it before the Lord calls him into eternity. How can we safely and truly adapt the catechism? Oh, by having the kind of assistance that the laity need, from priests, religious, and other laity, who themselves are well grounded in the faith and are courageous in teaching it. If a person needs help for adaptation, one of my responsibilities is to obey the Holy See in training the laity. So we have two associations, one called Marian Catechists, another Ignatian Catechists, train lay people. I am confident anyone from either of those two associations will help you to adapt the new catechism. Are there any canonized homosexual saints? I've been a priest for 46 years. I've been lecturing for most of those 46 years. By now we've received, I'm sure, 10,000 or more questions. I never thought I'd live. Yeah. It's printed. It really says that. Are there any canonized homosexual saints? I am sure behind that question is what some are saying, claiming there are saints who are active homosexuals. That is a demonic lie. The homosexuals are professional liars. They are very powerful, and they can be very persuasive. The answer is no, for the best of reasons. Because an active homosexual, if he or she knows what they're doing, will not reach at him. Just for the record, St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, excludes certain people from heaven. He names them, including homosexuals. How does one get the pastor to substitute an RCIA program based on a liberal, shallow view of our faith with an RCA based on the catechism, on the catechism? The pastor is a modernist. Pray for the pastor. Suffer for the pastor. Sacrifice for the pastor. But don't give up. Here's a new catechism going to include inclusive language. No. that's why, you know what happened. When the Holy Father told Cardinal Law of Boston to superintend an English translation of the French Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Pope never dreamt what would happen. What had happened? And that catechism, with inclusive language, was made available to all the bishops of the United States without being approved by the Bishop of Rome. So the new catechism will not include inclusive language. And by the way, how will I know that translation that was done was the Pope rejected? Not only includes inclusive language, it tampers with the faith. For example, a statement of the Catechism which says that the bishops must teach under the authority of and approval by the Bishop of Rome. The translation in English, as the Pope did not approve, substitutes the word may for can. What a difference between the bishops may not teach what the Pope did not approve and the bishops cannot teach. The Catechism says they cannot teach unless everything which they teach is approved by the Bishop of Rome. You stated, it is difficult to trust Catholic books, newspapers of today. Question, is it all right to use Catholic books for reference published prior to 1955? Oh, this I'm going to say. This is precious. I believe you've got to watch the author. Take a man like Thomas Merton. Pray for the repose of his soul. There are two now Thomas Mertons, the before and the after. The one before can be read safely. The one after should not be read. So, by all means, before 1955, as a matter of fact, for 19 centuries, there was a lot of teaching of the Catholic Church, by the way, before 1955. Why does the Catholic Catechism need to be adapted? It needs to be adapted because of the different kind of people who will read the Catechism and will use it. In other words, some people find it difficult to understand the language. I repeat, the adaptation is not in content, but some in our parish pastoral staff claim that our Lord did not realize that he was the second person of the Trinity until his resurrection. What are the teaching of the church on this? Well, first, the teaching of the church on this is that this is heresy. Not even intelligent heresy. It's stupid heresy. When did Jesus know that he was God? Hear it. From the first moment of his conception in Mary's womb. How do you respond to the holiness or unholiness of women, Eucharistic ministers? I've got to control my language. I have a rich vocabulary. Only good holy women should be Eucharistic ministers. All others should be removed in the next 24 hours. Well, how much more I could say. Our son and his wife, after joining the charismatic movement, converted to the Baptist religion. He and his wife of 19 years and their four children are very sincere in their love of Jesus and have made him very relevant in their lives. I pray for them every day that they will return to their Catholic faith if it tends to God's greater glory. Oh, have no doubt. It will tend to God's greater glory. Any question? My question is, can they see their souls as fallen away Catholics? A hard question. The Catholic Church teaches an instructed Catholic cannot leave the Catholic Church without mortal sin. Note the adjective, an instructed Catholic. The question then is, how instructed are these two people? Well, how instructed were they before they fell away? There are two basic reasons why no Catholic is ever justified to leave the Catholic Church. First, the mind. There are no rational grounds for giving up the Catholic faith. No rational grounds. And secondly, God always provides the necessary grace. Do everything in your power to bring your son, daughter-in-law, and the family back to the faith from which they've strayed. Can you address the controversy between First Confession, First Communion, and the current trend of First Confession after First Communion? I can surely address it, know the authority of the Pope behind me. The Vicar of Christ wants, and the Church teaches, every Catholic should first go to confession and only then make that First Communion. As far back as 1215, a general council of the Church called the Fourth Lateran met 1215, declared, and the law has never been changed, every Catholic on reaching the age of reason is to first go to confession and then make his or her first Holy Communion. When after the Second Vatican Council, the revolution broke out against confession before First Communion, I was told by the Holy See to write, which I did, a long article published in a Canadian journal defending First Confession before First Communion. And I think I can say this. Then the Holy See ordered me to send copies of this article to every priest in the United States. And I was even provided with the funding to cover the mailing. So many nowadays, I'm sure you know, grow up. Pastors tell me, a couple getting married, either he or she or both had never been to confession. In other words, it is not that that child of 6 or 7 or 8 has committed mortal sin, but that child must be taught the necessity of confession. If the child is taught in its early years, he may never and never either go to confession at all